Well, this morning's scriptures, there's two readings this morning, coming from the second letter to the Corinthians, and then the Gospel of Mark in the second chapter. Near the beginning of Mark's Gospel, he groups a series of stories that serve two functions. First, they establish Jesus' authority to forgive sins in the early part of chapter 12, an authority to call a tax collector and to eat with sinners and with tax collectors, and then authority to permit his disciples not to fast, authority to permit his disciples to pluck and eat on the Sabbath, and the authority to heal on the Sabbath. We'll hear that in chapter 3. And second, these series of stories, they introduce the antagonism of the scribes, Pharisees, and the Herodians. Antagonism that will eventually lead to Jesus' death. So before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer together. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in your bulletins or on the front screen? May all. So the first reading is from the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 5 through 12, found on page 1798 in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light for the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. Amen. In our reading, our gospel reading, from the second chapter of Mark, starting in verse 23, found on Pew Bible in 1555. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And then he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath.' The other time he went into the synagogue when a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, 'Stand up in front of everyone.' And Jesus asked the man, 'Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?' They remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. The Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So reading the text appointed for this week brings to mind that often quoted verse from Joshua, chapter 24. You might remember, "Choose this day whom you will serve." Or even from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 30 and verses 15 to 20. And says, "I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life." Mark's account of the Pharisees and the man with the withered hand is a parable of these dichotomies of life and death. An example of what it looks like to serve the triune God instead of worship an idol. We heard from the epistle lesson from 2 Corinthians, it gives us a metaphor for accepting life in Christ in the face of a death-dealing world. This is a Sunday to ask ourselves, whom do you choose to serve? Which side are you on, life or death, good or evil? And subsequently, how do your actions and attitudes reflect your choice? The Pharisees in Mark are on the lookout. They're on the lookout for ways to ensnare Jesus, to catch him, breaking the rules, the religious rules, to trap him, to destroy him. And the issue isn't really Sabbath laws. The goal is to put a stop to this Jesus who is disrupting the status quo and upending systems to keep the current power players in place. The Pharisees and the Herodians and many others in positions of power do not care. Not really. They don't care about keeping the Sabbath. They care about keeping their privilege. They don't care about the man with a withered hand, his suffering, his plight. They are obsessed with maintaining the upper hand. They make their choice that day whom they will serve, and they will serve themselves. In short, they choose death to sustain their own worldly lifestyle. Put in these terms, their choice seems utterly ridiculous. Who would choose evil over good? What person of faith, religious leader, well acquainted with Scripture, one who practices prayer, practices worship, follows all the commandments to the letter, chooses death over life? Being right over doing good, allowing a brother to suffer for the sake of silencing a perceived threat to their status. Why are they so blind to the presence of the holy in their midst? How can they be so deaf to the voice of God speaking directly to them? Surely, we wouldn't do likewise, right? That's the challenge from this text in Mark. We read this story and do not cast ourselves as the Pharisees or the Herodians. We see ourselves on Jesus' side. Perhaps we don't see ourselves as the man, as the person with the withered hand, as the man with the withered hand, but we certainly expect that we would have compassion for him. We in no way imagine that we would choose Sabbath adherence over a relief of someone suffering. The choice were ours to make. It's all too easy for us to say We choose life. We choose good. We choose to serve Jesus Christ. However, often we say, Lord, Lord, with our lips, but fail to do the will of God in our lives. Too often, unbeknownst to us, we are the Pharisees, on the watch for religious rule breakers rather than on the lookout for the inbreaking of life-giving reign of God. Too often we are at the ready to protect our advantages, even at the expense of others, healing and wholeness. Too often we do whatever it takes to persevere our own advantages while failing to see how our actions may handicap others. Rarely is the choice as stark and as sinister as it appears on a gospel reading for today, choosing death and evil over life and goodness is as much more insidious most of the time. Often failing to follow Jesus Christ comes in the form of inertia or inaction instead of active rebellion. I mean, remember, no decision is a decision, right? We may not be plotting to destroy Jesus, but frequently we are oblivious to his commands. Every day we make choices that reveal this day whom we will serve. We choose not to use our influence on behalf of those without a voice. We choose not to speak truth to power. We choose instead to protect our property values over advocating for perhaps low-income housing. We choose estrangement over engagement with people with whom we disagree. We seek retribution rather than reconciliation. We advocate for those within our tribe, forgetting that following Jesus redefines our tribe. We neglect those without hands, with withered hands. Attending to them diminishes our upper hand. We lord it over others, certain we've earned what we've got, instead of proclaiming that Jesus is the Lord. And the earth and all that it is in it belong to him. This story in Mark challenges us to be aware of what captures our attention. Are we looking for signs of new life? Are we looking for signs of hope? Are we looking for signs of healing power in Jesus Christ? Ways to participate in the wholeness Jesus came to bring for all people, not just the select group or our tribe. Or are we ever on guard for our own security, our own safety, our own status? Which do we choose? Life or death? Whom will we serve this day? In our daily choices and our challenges, we need to ask ourselves this question. Where is Christ's anointed and humanizing vision? In the opportunities that we participate in every day, we can ask ourselves this. Is there a chance for offering empathy, courageous witness, care, assurance, exhortation, hope, vulnerability, sacrifice, obligation, invitation, wisdom, and blessing in all that we do? Do our choices and actions, our words and our relationships align with Jesus' inaugural vision? Do they reflect our choosing life and service to Jesus Christ or not? In other words, do we exhibit care and hope and sacrifice, courageous witness, or are we ever on the lookout to maintain the upper hand at the expense of those with a withered one? often the choice is not as evident as it appears in this story from Mark. So what does this mean for us? What does this mean for us today? This week? Well, friends, I think it means this. That there will be times this week, today, this afternoon, this evening, when you and I are presented with opportunities to practice our Christian understanding. When we are in the midst of those times, let us not forget to whom we are serving. It is my hope that we will take the practices that we preach and live by and observe and put them into action for humankind. Actions of empathy, actions of courageous witness, actions of offered assurance and vulnerability, actions of wisdom and blessing in all that we do. All that we do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.